Hey, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Moed Katan Daf Yud Aleph. We left off on Daf Yud Amud Beis. We are at V'Amar Rava Prakmatya, which is the first words online of V'Amar Rava, about 10 lines from the end of the page. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children. First thing we're going to talk about is the heter of doing business with a Davara Aved on Chalamoed. Then we're going to that's going to bring us all the way to the Mishnah. The Mishnah on Amud Aleph, which Amud Aleph is the last Amud of the first parak of Maseches Moed Katan. The Mishnah is going to identify certain malachos that can only be done with a maisa hedyot, but not with a maisa uman. Then the Gemara is going to raise a stira, whether you can fix things in a noisy way on Chalamoed, and the Gemara is going to have four answers to that stira, and then the Gemara is going to conclude the parak with two versions of how Rava permitted preserving fish for after the moed, and some advice about eating fish in general. It's going to lead us just to stam some information about eating fish. Then Be'ezras Hashem, we will begin the second parak of Maseches Moed Katan on Amud Beis, and the Mishnah is going to talk about whether Avelus or Chalamoed. If Avelus or Chalamoed happens in the middle of preparing olives for pressing, are you allowed to follow through even though one is in Avelus or it's Chalamoed, and normally you're not allowed to do Malacha, but the olives are otherwise going to be destroyed and they're going to be lost and you're not going to be able to salvage them if you don't follow through on the Malachos that are necessary for pressing them. The Gemara is going to discuss whether there's a difference between Chalamoed and Avelus as far as Davra Aved is concerned. The Gemara is also going to talk about the Heterim for an Avel to do certain Malachos if he's the only qualified person to get those Malachos done. Otherwise it's not going to happen. And then the Gemara is going to conclude, the Daf is going to conclude with details of Isurei Melacha during Avelus. So let's begin again on Daf Yud Amud Beis, V'Amar Rava, about 10 lines from the end of the page. First was on the line, V'Amar Rava, Prakmatya Kol Shu Asur, buying any merchandise in order to sell in Chalamoed, even just a little bit, is going to be Asur. The Rush writes, why is it Asur? Mishum Tircha, that it's going to be excessive. Of tircha. In the Tshuvas HaRosh and Klal Chav Gimel, he adds that because of the tircha that's involved in making sure that you're doing everything precisely, making sure you're assessing the values precisely, it's going to cause a person to refrain from Simchas Yom Tov. Nemuke Yosef and the Magen Mishnah say that no, the reason you're not allowed to engage in prakmati, you're not allowed to engage in commerce on Chalamoed is a gezera Shema Yichtov, the same reason you're not allowed to do so on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Nafkamina is, are you allowed to be Makdish something on Chalamoed? According to the Rush, that it's Asur Mishum Tircha, there should be no Isser, because there's no Tircha in being Makdish something. But according to the Nemuke Yosef, that it's because of a Gzeira Shema Yichtov, you shouldn't even be able to be Makdish something, because there is a Chashash of Shema Yichtov when it comes to Hektish as well. So the Gemara explains what the Hetera now says, but Amar Rabbi Yosef Ravinu B'davar Aved Mutter, even though there's an Isser of Prakmati on Chalamoed, there's an Isser of Schora on Chalamoed, if it's a Davar Aved, where you're going to lose it otherwise, then it's going to be mutter. There's a machlokas rishonim, whether hefset harevach, where right now it's it could be a boon, you can make a ton of money off of this, and by waiting till after Chalamoed, you're not going to make as much money, but you're not going to lose anything, whether that's also considered a Davar Aved. Tosos writes that no, they only allow schora when it's a Davar Aved, which means you're going to lose the schora. All the stuff you're trying to sell is going to spoil. It's going to be mamish davara aved. But the Ritva says that even if you're just going to lose out on the efforts and it's not going to be, and you're not losing from the value of the keren, that could also be considered a davara aved. The Chazanish explains that you could argue that of course minias harevach is aser, but on chalamoed, just for a person is not allowed to do schora just because he's going to make more money. But if it's something that you can sell for X amount of dollars now, and then after Yom Tov, you're only going to be able to sell it for half X, so that might be called the Davara Aved, because right now that means the value of the Keren is X. So if you wait till after Moed, the value of the Keren is going to be half X, that's called the Davara Aved. That's not only Minias HaRevach, so that seems to be the Machlokas Rishonim. Says the Gemara, Ravina Avleyahizka Davim is Davim Beshita Alfi. Ravina had some Schora that he could have sold for 6,000 Zuz on Chalamoed, but Shai Libsuni Basu Chalamoed. Chalamada. He waited to sell it after Chalamada. Vizabne Batresralfi. And Hashem rewarded him. It went up in value. He wasn't expecting that. He sold it for twice as much. He sold it for 12,000. Ravina Vamasak Zuzi Bne Akra Deshanvasa. Ravina was owed money by people who lived in a certain location. Asal Kamid Ravashi Amalei. So he came to Ravashi and he asked him, Maul the Mezali in Alayu, can I go right now on Chalamoed while they're all home, they're not traveling anywhere, to collect my chovos? Amalei, so Ravashi said, Kivin de Inu, Hudu Mishkachsu, Biomirachin lo Mishkachsu, Kiprakavati Avidam, Vishari, since now's the only time that they're available and you're going to be able to catch them at home. Otherwise, they're going to be able to elude you. You're going to be able to, they'll always be, you're not going to find them so easily. That's called the Dover Avid, and therefore it's mutter to go collect your debts on Chalamoed. Tanya Nami Gabi Avodah Zarah Kei Gavna. We have a very similar idea when it comes to Avodah Zarah, that Holchin the Yerid, Shalom de Kuchavim Mazalos, that you can go to the Yerid, the day of the market, for Ovde Kuchavim Mazalos, which they would do on the day of their Avodah Zarah. They would make a big fair and a big marketplace. So that's what they would call the Yerid. In the Rabbeinu Shlomo Ben Hayasom, he writes that the Shuk, where they would gather, for all the Sochrim would gather, is called the Yerid, because the Lashon of Yerido Vahashpala, it's lowliness. It's because the Goyim went there to be Megadol Mekalei Avodah Zarah. So we call that, just like we often do when we make a mockery of Avodah Zarah, Kalei Tenusa Asuru, Chotzmi Latzenusa Avodah Zarah. We're always supposed to make a Leitzanus of the Avodah Zarah. So that was a place that they would go to glorify and to sanctify and to uplift the shame of Avodah Zarah. So we call it a Yerid, that it's a Yerida, that it's a place that they would go down and they would be Mashpil themselves. Anyway, a person could go to the Yerid of Novi Chavim, Velochim Behem Avadim Shachas Batim Sadus Ukramim, and he could buy Avadim Shachas houses, fields, vineyards, Vikosev, and he could write a shtar as a raya that he purchased these items, Umala Bar Koshalen, and he get that shtar certified in their courts, Mipnei Shukim Matzal Miyadan, because that way he has to do that. Otherwise, if the Nachri ever objects and says that he never sold it, he'll now be able to have proof, and that you're allowed to do this because that's where you're going to be able to find them. So you see in the Braisa that even though Chacham As are going to our coast in general, but by the Yerid, they allow it because you might not be able to find judges on another day, and it's going to be a Dovra Aved. So that's similar to the Heter Ravashi gave to collect a Chov on Chalamoed, because you may not find the Balei Chovos on any other day, and it's going to be a Dovra Aved. So Gemara brings a number of Psakim from Amoraim as far as making new Kalim through weaving or braiding. Rav Shara Lechia Bar Ashi, the Migdal Ohari, he allowed him to make fish nets, B'chol Demo'ada and Chalamoed, my time and my Sehedio too, because that anyone could do. You don't need to be an Uman to make such things. Avil easily Aser, but to make fish, bird nets rather, are Aser. My time and my Se'umanu, because that's considered my Se'uman. One needs to be expert in order to make those things. Rav Yehuda Shara La'amitanu Ra'a, Rav Yehuda allowed a person by the name of Ami, who happened to have been an oven maker, L'migdal Tanuri, to build ovens on Chalamoed. Rav Bar Asfi L'migdal Mehulta, and he allowed Rabbi Barasvi to make nets or sieves. Aini, is that really so that it's mutter to build a tanur? Vatani Rabbi Bar Shmuel, didn't Rabbi Bar Shmuel tell us v'shavin that both Rabbi Lazar and the Chum who disagree in yesterday's daf whether you're allowed to be gomer melechas hatanur, that they agree shein golden tanur lechadchila, that you're not allowed to build a whole oven lechadchila and chalamoed? Says Marlo Kasha, can be mosachama, can be mosagshamim. There are two chalamoeds. There's a chalamoed just as the weather is getting warmer, that's Chalamoed Pesach, and there's a Chalamoed just as the weather is getting colder and rainy, and that's Chalamoed Sukkos. So when you're making a Tanur on Chalamoed Pesach, the sun is going to come out and it's going to dry the Tanur, and the Tanur is going to be usable on Chalamoed itself, because the sun is going to dry it out enough to make it usable. That you're allowed to do. But on Chalamoed Sukkos, where it's very likely to rain, and the Tanur is not going to be usable, it's not going to dry out properly, then you're not allowed to use it. Right? Obviously, there are only two Chalamoids. The Gemara should have said Kan b'Pesach, Kan b'Sukkos, but it Dafka wanted to highlight why it is that Pesach and Sukkos are different from each other, because Pesach comes right around the time of where Yemos HaChama is going to be happening, and Sukkos comes right around the time of Yemos HaGeshamim. Okay, new Mishnah. Osid Maka L'Gagol Mar Pesach, Maisa Hedyot Avlo Maisa Uman. You're allowed to make a Maka for a rooftop or for a porch, but only a Maisa Hedyot, you're not allowed to do so in a Maisa Uman kind of way, in a professional kind of way. The Ravid is quoted by the Tosa Rush that it doesn't mean that you're making a makah l'shem mitzvahs makah, that where there's a requirement to make a makah, because Sifri tells us that a marpesas is potter from a makkah. We're talking about a makkah that you do stam, the shmir bialo or the tznius, you stam, want to have some privacy, so you're building this fence for privacy purposes. But we're not talking about for the mitzvah. The Ritva writes also, he says that a makkah shal mitzvah for sure would be mutter, even by ma'isa uman. For the sake of a mitzvah, you'd be allowed to make a regular makkah. So that's how the Ravid and the Ritva understand. However, the Meiri disagrees, and he says, even a makkah shal mitzvah, you're not allowed to make with ma'isa uman, you're only allowed to make with ma'isa hedyot. Shavinus ha-sadokin, u'magilin osan b'magila. If you have cracks in an oven, you can fill in those cracks and smooth it over with a ma'agila, which is a wheel that they would use to smooth out the oven. Biyad of regel, avalov machatzayim. You can also smooth it over using your hands or your feet, but not with a special kli that was made to smooth out the oven. Hatzir v'atzinur v'akor v'amanul v'mafteach. Different parts of a door, the pivot and the socket and the korah, the minol, the lintel on the top and the minol, the lock and the mafteach, the key, shenishbru, if any parts of the door break, on chalamoid, misaklin b'moed, you're allowed to break them, you're allowed to fix them rather on chalamoid, even without employing a shinoi, because that's going to be a major davar aved. If your door doesn't lock, so then your whole house is open to whoever wants to come in and take things. So that you're allowed to fix on chalamoid, b'lvad, shal yiskavin lasas machta b'moed. Provided that it didn't break 2 weeks ago and you were thinking, I'll have time to fix on a Chol HaMoed. I'm not going to fix it now. I'll wait till Chol HaMoed. That's called Miskavin Melach Tal HaMoed. You're not allowed to do that. That even when we have a heter of doing Melach on Chol HaMoed, that's if it came up on Chol HaMoed. But a person cannot delay from taking care of things that he should be taking care of, saying that I'll have plenty of time to do it on Chol HaMoed. The Kol Kvashin, another halach in the Mishnah, if you're pickling things, Shuyachal Lechel Man B'moed, if you're going to be able to eat from them on Chol HaMoed itself, Kovshan, then you're allowed to start the pickling process on Moed, because you're doing it Litzarech HaMoed. But if the pickling in the brine is going to take long enough that the vegetables are not going to be ready on Chol HaMoed, then you're not allowed to do the pickling on Chol HaMoed, because it's not Litzarech HaMoed at all. So you're not allowed to do this Malacha of pickling on Chol HaMoed if it's not going to be for the benefit of the moed. Malacha of pickling? What malacha is involved in pickling? Meaning, what would be the issue with pickling? So it sounds like it's considered some sort of malacha midrabanan, because it's Tosos writes that on Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis in Dibra Maschul Machnis, that you're not going to say something that's not a malacha is only asur because of tircha on its own. Tircha is only asur when there's some sort of malacha involved. So the Rambam writes that someone who's Kovish Kvashim, it's also because it's nira kimevashel, that it looks like it's cooking. So it's like a cooking on a drabanan level. That's what the Agli Tal writes in Meleches Ofe, that it's cooking on a drabanan level. Rashi says it's nira kimeaved. Rashi in Shabbos and Davkul Chasam Beis, that it looks like you're tanning a hide. So it's similar to pickling something, that you're treating it with some sort of ointment that's going to change the nature of the item. So that's considered like some sort of malacha on a drabanan level. Okay, so now going back to the beginning of the Mishnah. The Mishnah had said that you're allowed to make a makkah for your gag or your marpeset, but only in a ma'isa hedyot, not in a ma'isa uman. Seichidami ma'isa hedyot. How do you make a fence in a ma'isa hedyot kind of way? So Rav Yosef Amar Behutza V'dafna. Use some branches, some twigs to make a fence. That you pile stones on top of each other to make the fence, but you never cement them together. That's a ma'isa hedyot. Shavin asadak magila sam magila. The Mishnah then said you can fill in the cracks of the oven and smooth it over with magila and with your hands and your feet. Well, hashem magila amr chari. If you're allowed to use a magila, which is a wheel that smooths out the oven, so biyadav regel mibayi, isn't it obvious that you're allowed to use your hands and feet to smooth it out? I mean, the magila is a more serious kli that you're using. So if you're allowed to use a real kli to smooth it out, of course you're allowed to do so with your hands and feet. So it says marano hachi kamar shavnas hasadakun umagila son kein magila biyadav regel. We're not talking about using an actual wheel to smooth it out. We're saying you're allowed to do that which the ma'agila would accomplish when you do it biyadu beregel, when you do it with your hands or feet, and that's how you're smoothing it out. Avalo b'machlatzayim, but not with a specialized implement that's meant to smooth out the oven. That you're not allowed to do, but only you're only allowed to do with your hands and feet to smooth out the oven. Then the Mishnah had said, atzir v'atzina v'akor v'amanav l'mavteach shenishbru misaklin b'moed, that any part of the door that breaks, you're allowed to fix on chol HaMoed. So it says Gemara, Gemara sounds like you're allowed to fix them in the normal way, even though l'chora, when you're fixing parts of a door, you're going to have to take a hammer, and it's going to make noise because you're going to be banging with the hammer. Or maybe I'll ask you, Stira, the sugi at the end of Masech HaSota tells us about Yochanan Kohen Gadol and all the different takanos that he made, that ad yamav hayapatish makab Yerushalayim, that up until the times of Yochanan Kohen Gadol, people used to be banging with hammers on Chol HaMoed for a davar aved. So ad yamavin, mikan ve'el l'chlo, but it sounds like after the days of Yochanan Kohen Gadol, he asked it. No one was allowed to bang with a hammer anymore. So how are they allowed to fix the door? L'chora, that's a noisy thing to do. Yochanan Kohen Gadol made a number of takanas. The most famous takana probably of Yochanan Kohen Gadol is that there's a whole Masechta in Shas based on one of the takanas of Yochanan Kohen Gadol. Masechas Demai. Yochanan Kohen Gadol is one that was Shaleach B'chol Eretz Yisrael, and he went to see what are Amei Aretz up to. Are Amei Aretz careful about being mafresh Shumas Amaisos? And what he found is that largely, yes, that Al Pirov, most Amei Aretz are mafresh Shumas Amaisos, but a significant enough minority of them are not being mafresh Maisos. They're only being mafresh Shumas Gadola. They're not being mafresh Maisos, that he decided to make a takana that whenever you purchase produce from an Amei Aretz, you have to be mafresh Demai. You have to be mafresh Maisos Rishon, Maisos Sheni, Maisos Rani, because you have to assume the worst. You have to assume that the Amei Aretz you purchase from is part of that significant minority that is not does not take care of Maisos. So that whole takana of Demai, where we have an entire Masechta in Shas about not in Shas Bavli, but in Shas Mishnayis about Demai, that was all takana of Yochanan Kohen Gadol, the Gemara in Sota says. But over here we're talking about a different takana of Yochanan Kohen Gadol, that apparently Yochanan Kohen Gadol made a takana that even when you're doing Melechas Tavara Avid, you're not allowed to use a hammer. You're not allowed to make noisy Melecha. So how come in our Mishnah it says that they're allowed to fix the door? Isn't that a noisy Melecha? Four answers. Answer number one, Lokash Habedinafti Habedinagri. If they're fixing metal utensils, then the hammer banging is really loud. So that's not allowed. But if you're fixing wooden things like the door, that's allowed because it's not as loud. Maskev Rav Chista, Yomru Kala Rabba Asur Kala Zut Ashari. Does that make any sense? That a loud noise is going to be Asur, but a slightly less loud noise is going to be Mutter? If the reason for the Gzeru is Mishum Maris Ayin, we shouldn't make a distinction between a very loud noise and a moderately loud noise. You bang a hammer on wood, it also makes a noise. So second answer, Elam Rav Chista Lo Kasha, Habimagli Habichatzini. Our Mishnah, which allows fixing the door, is talking about where you're using these the larger kalim that don't make such noise, whereas Yochanan Kohen Gadol was talking about where you're using a hammer that makes much more noise, meaning you're using a wheel to smooth out something, we weren't talking about smoothing out, but we're talking about fixing a door. But if you're using larger kalim that don't make a noise, then it's going to be mutter. If you're using hammers that do make a noise, then it's going to be aser. Third answer, Rav Papa Amar, Kan Kodem Gzeira, Kan Liach Gzeira. Very simple. Our Mishnah says you're allowed to fix a door because our Mishnah was talking about before Yochanan Kohen Gadol made a Gzeira that you're not allowed to be banging with a hammer for a Davra Avid. But in Chinami, once you made the Gzeira, then it's going to be Aser. Fourth answer, Rav Ashi Amar HaRabi Yuda HaRabi Yossi. That it's a subject to a machlokas we're going to have in tomorrow's daf. We're going to have a machlokas in tomorrow's daf that if a person had his wine fully pressed and it's waiting in the bar, and because of some sort of onus that happened to him, he's not able to take the wine and bring it and put it into barrels before Yom Tov, even though if he would leave the wine in the bar and not put it into barrels until after Yom Tov, it's all going to spoil. So it's a davar avid, it's all going to sour, it's going to turn into vinegar, but he's not allowed to put all of the wine into barrels and to close the barrels in the normal way like he would throughout the year, and they only allow him to close up the bar with some board. So you see the Rabbi Yehuda holds that even for a davar avid, you're not allowed to do melechas Chol HaMoed without a shinui, and therefore over here also he's going to be machmir not to fix the door with a hammer even for the sake of a davar aved. Whereas our Mishnah, which allows fixing the door with a hammer, is going to hold like the sheet of Rabbi Yossi in tomorrow's daf, who allows for a davar aved. He says you're allowed to take that wine and put it into barrels and seal up the barrels and and do as you normally would during the year, because for a davar aved you're allowed to do a melecha even without a shinui. So you see, that's subject to the same machlokas. Tam Rabbi Yisrael Abdimi, man tana shinui b'moed b'davar aved. Who's the tana that allows you to do? Who's the tana that requires you to use a shinui when you're doing malacha b'davar aved? To look, Rabbi Yossi, that's against Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says a shinui is not necessary. Our Mishnah assumes like Rabbi Yossi, and therefore you're allowed to fix your door. Rabbi Yochanan Kohen Gadol is assuming not like Rabbi Yossi. He's assuming like Rabbi Yehuda that for malacha b'davar aved it's going to be aser. Am Ravina Kaman Madlin Liidna Kavius. Who do we do nowadays when who do we follow nowadays when we lift up the beam from the door when we the beam comes down, we pick it up and we put it back in its place, and we nail it back in its place without any shino, even though it's a ma'isa uman. Kiman, Rabbi Yossi, that follows Rabbi Yossi. He holds that a davar aved is allowed to be done even without a shinoi. Kvashin shiyachal lechol b'moed kovshan. Now we said you're allowed to pickle something that you're that the pickling will be finished on chalamoid itself. So badisa libayi. So badisa is the name of a river. Libayi is the name of a place. I mean, the people of the city of Libayi, which is on the river of Badisa, Kavri, they used to prepare. They used to trap a lot of fish, and they would have a lot of fish caught. And Azli Kuli Alma, and everyone from the surrounding areas would come to Daisu Kavra, and they would trap for themselves and bring a lot of fish. Litzarach Hamoed, even though with so many fish, there's no way they were going to be able to eat all of them on Chol HaMoed. So they asked, can they salt those fish and preserve them? Meaning that was a shaila. They had all these fish, and they're not going to be able to finish them on Moed itself. So are they allowed to salt them to preserve them to keep them for after Chol HaMoed? So Sharalu Rava Lemimlach Minayu. Rava allowed salting them with a lot of salt in order to preserve them, that they should be usable after the Moed. Amalei Abaye. So Abaye said to Rava, Vatanan, but our Mishnah says, Kvashin Shuyach Lechomed B'Moed Kovshan, that only pickling and brine that's going to be able to pickle the vegetables that you're going to be able to eat on Chol HaMoed, you're allowed to do. But if it's not going to be ready on Chol HaMoed, you're not allowed to do it. So why do you think that you're allowed to salt and preserve all these fish? That's going to be for long term. So Amalei, Kivit Me'ekara, Daita Dachila Esinu, Vishavik Lupasti, Kik Prakmatia, Avidami Vishari. He says, since when they originally brought these fish, it was with the intention of eating them in Chol HaMoed. They weren't catching these fish with the intention of preserving them long term. But now that they have more than they need, if they don't preserve them, they're going to get lost. They're going to get destroyed. They're going to spoil. So it's considered like prakmatia of it. It's considered a davar of it, and therefore they're allowed to salt the fish. But v'ikadami, there's another version of how this story happened. That shari luhu rava meitzad meizel aituye umimlach. That Rava was matir the bnei ir from Libayi to go and to trap more fish than they need for moed and to salt them in order to have them for Chol HaMoed. Not like we said originally that they trapped them l'tzarech HaMoed and then they just had more than they needed. No, he let them go catch more than they needed. He let them go take more than they needed. Samle Abaye. So now Abaye says to Rav Avanon, Kvashon Shu Yachal Echomen Kvashon Tanan. Our Mishnah says you're only allowed to pickle that which you need for a Chol HaMoed. You're not allowed to pickle that which is not going to be ready until after Moed. So Amale, Rav says, Hani Nami Misachli Agav Itza. Even these fish are royal achila on Moed if you by soaking them from the water, meaning you could soak them in a lot of water many times and that will get the salt out of them. So by the fact that you're putting salt on them, that you're salting them, even though that will preserve them for the long term, it doesn't necessarily disqualify them from being used in the short term. So you'll still be able to eat them on Chol HaMoed because you can soak it till the salt goes away. He had the Shmuel, just like the story happened with Shmuel, that avdei shitin itzitzi, they made 60 itzatzos. What does that mean? They brought fish that was very, very salty, and then they soaked it a lot of times till all the salt went out, va'achal, and then Shmuel was able to eat from it. So the Gemara tells us another couple of stories as far as eating salty fish by rinsing it off. Rava ikla lebe Reish Kalusa. Rava went to the house of the Reish Kalusa. Avdilei shita nitzi. They brought fish that was put in salt after they rinsed it many, many times in water, va'achal, and then he ate from it. Once they rinsed it, he was able to eat from it. Rav ikla lebe Rav Shapir. Rav went to the house of Rav Shapir. Shapir seems to be the fellow's name. So Rav Shapir, Aisel Kamayu Kavra, they brought him a fish, Tilta Bishula, one third of it was cooked in water, Tilta Milcha, one third of it was salted and then was rinsed from its salt, and Tilta Tavya, and one third of it was roasted on a fire. And you see that apparently you're allowed to, you're able to eat fish that is covered and melech, that is kovish and salt, if you then rinse it with a lot of water a lot of times, it becomes edible. Amar Rav, Amar Li Ada Tzaida. So Rav says, you know, Ada, the Ada, the fisherman, said to me, Kavra Samach L'Misruchei Mali, that the best time to eat fish is if you chop it right before it spoils. Meaning, after it spoils, no good. Too fresh, no good. But you get it right before it spoils. That's when the fish is the most delicious. That is not my experience. But the Amar Rav, Rav also says, Amar Li Ada Tzaida. Ada Tzaida had other advice, that Kavra Tavya Ba'achua, that the best way to deal with eating fish is that you should roast it with its brother, meaning with salt, because the fish lives in the salty waters, so it's considered its brother. It grows up with the salt all around it. And then after you roast it, Asuke Bavua, you should soak it with its father. The father is considered the water, because the fish is it's a Briyaso Min Amayim, in Maisa Bereshis, who was created from the water, from cold water. Michli Bevre, and then afterwards you should eat it with its son. That means to put it in the tzir, in the brine that comes from the fish, and that's how you eat it. And ishtia le'avua, and then you drink its father with it. You drink water together with the fish. V'yamarav amarli adatzaida. A third bit of advice from Ada the fisherman, that kavra tachli v'chalva, that fish and cress and milk, all of these things are very heavy types of things. So litun guf of lolit Puria. They take a burden on the they'll allow the body to carry its burden, but not the bed. Meaning, a person should walk a lot after he eats these things before he goes to sleep. He should carry his body around for a while, but not go to sleep after eating these heavy things. You have to walk it off a little bit. V'amar Rav, Amar Li Ada Tzaida. A fourth bit of advice from Ada Tzaida. Kavra Tachli V'Chalva. When you eat these three items, you should drink water after them, but not beer. Shichra velo chamra. And if your choice is beer or wine, and you're not able to drink water, so then beer is better than wine. So if you're having something with fish, the best thing to drink is water, second best is beer, and wine is really not a great idea to have together with fish. Hadrulach mashkin beis hashlachin. We now move on to the second parak of Meseches Moed Katan. So a little bit of an introduction to the topic of our Mishnah. So we're going to continue talking about Melechas Dovra Oven Chalamoed, but the Mishnah is going to be talking about when you're in the middle of processing olives. So it's important to understand how they used to make olive oil in the times of Chazal. So they would take all of the olives and they would put it into a big vessel called a ma'atan. And while it was in the ma'atan, they'd leave it there for several days. The olives would become ripe and they would soften. And that way, it would be more ready to press. So after 4 or 5 days that the olives were in this matan, they would take a stick and they would mix them around to make sure to see how soft the olives are, to see if they're soft enough and they're ready for pressing. If they were, they would put the olives into a beis habad, which was where they would get pressed, and then they wouldn't just press the olives right away, they would grind them up. And once they're ground up, so then it's going to be much easier for the oil to flow from them. So then they would gather the ground up olives into a large basket, and which is an akal beis habad, and then they would press a beam on top of them, and the oil would drip through the holes of the basket into a bar, and that's where the oil would get collected. And then afterwards, they'd go back to the psolas of the olives that they had, and they would again grind it up again and again press it to get all the left all the extra oil that was still in it. So it was like a double pressing. So what happens if the following, says the Mishnah, Misha hafach hazesav, a person already had his olives softening in this ma'atan, and he already took the stick to check to make sure that they were soft. If he doesn't squeeze them now, they're going to get ruined. He's not going to be able to use them for shemen in the future. But then, v'iro evel, one of his relatives dies, and he's in avelus. And during Shiva, an avel is asur b'malacha, but all these olives are going to get ruined. Oh, ones, or something happens, he gets sick. Oh, shehitu poalim, or he had hired workers to come before Chalamoy to handle this, but they didn't come, and therefore he was not able to finish the job before Chalamoy. But right now it's Chalamoy, and if it's either during his avelus or it's Chalamoy, it's some time of an isra malacha, and if he leaves it like this, it's going to get ruined. So toin kora rishonu, we allow him to press the olives with the first pressing. and in order that the oil should come out, umanicha le'achar moed. But then he has to leave it that way and not press it again, not squeeze the olives anymore until after the moed. Even though he's not finishing the entire production of the oil, divrei Rabbi Yehuda, at least it's not such a big nezek. At least he's getting most of the oil out of those olives. That's Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi omer zolef v'gomer v'gav kedarko. He could do the whole process. He could be bottling and sealing the bottles. Just do whatever you normally do to make sure that you have all the oil that you need, like the same way you would throughout the rest of the year. So that's machlokas tanaim. Again, he has all the olives. They're ready to go. If he doesn't take care of them right now, they're going to get ruined. And it's the problem is it's cholamoid or it's during Shiva. So Rabbi Yehuda says you can salvage something. Rabbi Yossi says you can salvage everything. So says Gemara pasach be'evil v'siyeh b'moed. You know, it wasn't really so clear in the Mishnah when we shifted from avelus to cholamoid. It says v'iru evel and then onus or tu apolim. So all that was talking about cholamoid. So that which is a little bit funny. Taim korishon menich la'achar moed sounds like we switched at some point to moed. So why didn't we say if you're allowed to do that in you may avelus also, right? What was Rabbi Yehuda's shita? Taim korishon menicha la'achar moed. Why does he say menicha la'achar avelus, right? Why doesn't he mention that? He says that you're allowed to leave for after moed. We had two cases. How come he's saying that there were two cases and the halacha that he's expressing is only about chol moed? So two ways of reading our Mishnah. So I'm Rav Shish Brei Ravidi Zosa Meres Tvar Ma Matar B'moed Asur B'mei Avlo Ein Echinami, because it's Asur during Avelos. The two cases, either you have the olives partially processed during Avelos or you have it during chol moed, and the halacha is during chol moed it's mutter to do something about it. During Avelos, Asur, we're more machmir by Avelos than we are by chol moed. Rav Ashi says, no, that's not what we're saying. Lomi Baye Kamer, just the opposite. We're saying it goes without saying that Lomi Baye B'mei Avlo D'mid Rabbanan U'Vishari, not only during Avelos where the Yisr Malacha is only in Yisr Mid Rabbanan, so of course it's going to be Mutter B'makom Hefsid not to have to lose out. Ela Afilu B'moed, this Malacha D'Araisa B'makom Seyed Shor Rabbanan. But even Malachas Chol Moed, which is this D'Araisa B'makom Hefsid, the Rabbanan are going to be Mekel. We're going to learn all about Hilchas Avelos in this Masechta. The third paragraph of this Masechta is all of Hilchas Avelos. And Daf Tes Vav and Beis, we're going to learn that there's Nisr Malacha for an Avel from a Pasuk in Amos. V'afachti chageichem la'evel. And that's going to be the basis for the Nisr Malacha. So that's what the Rishonim point out over here. A Pasuk? How can you say it's only Drabanan? Nah, the Pasuk is clearly only an Asmachta. The Ritva points out, it's not even such a great Asmachta. First of all, it's in Amos, not a Pasuk in the Torah. But aside from that, it's not even such a great Asmachta. It doesn't mention anything about Malacha. It just says, V'afachti chageichem la'evel. So it's not really a great asmachta to begin with. So that's clearly malacha for an avel is only an issur d'rabbanan, and therefore it's a lomi bayi. Of course you're allowed to do some malacha to salvage the oil for an avel, but even cholam moed you're allowed to. Tidei kavasi Rav Shish Brei Davidi. We have a brisa that says like Rav Shish Brei Davidi that an avel is not allowed to press the olives on during his avelus, because by not only is an avel not allowed to do malacha, even other people are not allowed to do malacha for him usually, but ve'elu dvarim ha'osin la'avel b'yemei evlo. But the Brisa lists there are certain things that you can have other people do for you during your avelus in order to save from a hefsid, and one of those things is zeisav hafuchin ton in lo, that if your olives are ready to be pressed and they're going to get ruined if you wait till after Shiva, other people can do it for you, but you're not allowed to do it yourself. Kadulaguf, if you have a jug that is not sealed, so someone else can seal it for you. Pishtanu la'alus min ha'mishri, you have your flax that has to come from the soaking tub to take it out so it doesn't get ruined. Vitzimra la'alus min ha'yora, or you have oil that has to come out of the dyeing implement where it gets dyed, or otherwise it's going to get ruined. Umar bitzim sadeyu, if you need your field to be watered a little bit. Mishtagia on samayim shalom, when it comes the time for the avel to be mashke his field so that it doesn't get ruined. So what do you see from this brisa? That Rav Shisha Brei Dravidi was correct, that the din of avelus is more chomer than the din of cholam moed. Because ti'inas kora rishona, when your olives are ready to go, we allowed on cholam moed. The Mishnah said you're allowed to do it on cholam moed. But by avelus, the brisa says, no, you're not allowed to do it. Only acherim are osim bishvilo. Other people are allowed to do it for you. but you're not allowed to do it. So then the Gemara continues quoting the Braisa. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Av Zorin Lo Steinir. You can even have other people plant a plowed field for you, because when the field is already plowed and it's ready to be planted, any delay in the planting is going to be a hefsid. V'sado Amenes L'Pishtan, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, you can even plant a field that's ready to have Pishtan planted in it, because if you don't plant during the planting season for Pishtan, you're not going to be able to plant Pishtan this year, so it's going to be a major loss. Amlo, the Chum said, by stay near, you're not allowed to plant Bimei Evlo, because Imlo Tizra B'Kavir, Tizra Ba'afel. So what? You won't plant right now with this, but you'll plant in a later time in the season. The Zman Azriya is not only 7 days, there's more time than 7 days to be able to plant, so that's not a significant hefsid. Imlo Tizra Pishtan, Tizra Mimenacher. And what? You wanted to plant flax, and you call that a Davar Avid, because you only have a short window of time to plant flax? Plant something else there. It's not all is not lost, so don't plant flax. Plant something else. That wouldn't qualify as a Davar Avid that would allow for an Avel to do Malacha. Rav Shmuel Umliel says there are times that an Avel is allowed to do Malacha even on his own. Zesef Afuchin Ve'in Shamum and Aluhu. Let's say the olives are ready to go, but he's the only one that knows how to work the press. Kado Laguf, he has jars that need to be sealed. Ve'in Shamum and Aluhu, but he's the only one that knows how to seal jars. Pishtan Lalos Min Amishri, he has flax that has to come out of the soaking. Tzmar Lalos Min Ayora, he has wool that has to come out from the Yora where it gets dyed. Ve'in Shamum and Aluhu, but he's the only one that knows how to do those things. Then Arezi Yasa Betzina, then he's allowed to do those things Betzina. He's just not allowed to do them in front of the Rabbin. Shita Satosos is Rishugum Liel is not so sir, Rav Shisha, that an Avel is Asr to do Melecha Estavara Aved during his Avelis, because Rav Shisha would be Moded that if Ein Sham Uman Elohu, he's allowed to do it. That's how Tosos writes. And this is not a Machlokas, this is adding a detail, that if it's Ein Sham Uman Elohu, if he's the only guy that's qualified, so then even Rav Shisha would allow. However, the Ritva writes that according to Rav Shisha Umliel, there's no Chumra of an Avel more so than Moed. The Avelis, you're only not allowed to do Melecha Estavara Aved when there are other people that are able to do it, whereas by Moed, everybody's asur b'malacha, so no one's going to be able to do the malacha in your place. So it's meaning by Moed, it's always Ein Sham. You know, there's never anybody else available to do the malacha. So when Rav Shisha says that Avelis is more chamer than Chol HaMoed, he holds like the Tanakama that's cholik or Moshem Gumliel, and asur is an avil to do malacha even when there's no other uman. So that's a discussion in the Rishonim. So yes, Alkein Amar Moshem Gumliel. Then Moshem Gumliel said there are even cases that an avil is allowed to do malacha by himself, even b'farhesya, not other people doing it for him, and not privately, and even if it's not going to be a hefsid. Imayu uman l'rabim, let's say he's someone that the public needs. V'sapar obalan, he's a barber, he's a bathhouse attendant. L'rabim, for the masses, they can't just have everybody stop bathing for a week. V'yigia es haregel, and now it's Yom Tov time, so everyone needs to get haircuts, everyone needs to bathe in honor of the regel. V'ein shamuman elahu, and he's the only one that knows how to do these things. He's the only show in town. So I raise a yasa. So then he's allowed to do it by himself, even v'farhesya, in order not that the community will have the service that they need. Ha'arisin v'achakirin, the Bryson discusses the yisum lacha for an avel who works the karka. If he's a sharecropper, or he's a chakir, or someone who works a portion of the land, and they take the payros of that land, and through the skiros, they're chayiv to pay the balakarka a particular amount, regardless of how much the land yields, v'akablonim, or people who work the land that work on other people's land, and the payros go to the balakarka, but they get paid for their avoda, a particular percentage of the yield of the land, whether the yield is great or small. Hareilu yasu achirim bishvilan. So then other people could do their malacha for them, because the balasad is going to lose out, meaning in all these cases, it's a partnership agreement, that they get some of what the land produces, and the owner of the land or the person they have an agreement with also gets some of it. So if they're going to take the week off, it's going to be on the balabayis's cheshbon, so that they don't have to do. Hachamarin, if someone is a donkey driver, v'agamalin, camel driver, v'asapanim, or a person who drives a ferry, a boat, hare elu alo yasu, they're not allowed to rent themselves out for the job on while they're in avelus. V'im hayu mechukarin omuskarin etzal acherim, but if they've already hired themselves out to do the job for other people, and it's a month or 2 month long journey, hare elu yasu, then they're allowed to do the malacha on their own during their avelus, in order that they shouldn't lose out on the whole job. Schir yom afilu biracheres lo yasa. Someone is hired for a schir yom, even if the place where his work is in another city and not in his city, and the people in that city don't know that he's an avel, and if he does the malacha, it's not going to be a marasayin issue. Still, he's not allowed to do the malacha because the poel is always allowed to back out in the middle of the day. If he was mekabel to do malacha in his house for somebody else, aval pisha bekiboldas, even though it's bekablanus and he's paid for the job and not for his time, lo yase, he's not allowed to do it during avelus. What do you mean aval pisha bekiboldas? V'lo mi bayisha any kiboldas? Even if it's kablanus, sounds like, and if it's a schir yom, then for sure he's not allowed to do it. Adrabe kiboldas kedidei dami. I would think that kablanus is more reason that he shouldn't be able to do it. Ela'ema bein kiboldas bein she'eni kiboldas lo yase. No, what we mean to say is it doesn't matter whether it's a kablanus or a schir yom. Either way, he's not allowed to do it. If his malacha was by other people, beveso, but they were working in his house, lo yasu, then they shouldn't do his work for him in his house during his avelus. But beveso acher, but if he gave his suit to the tailor and the tailor's tailoring the suit in his own house and no one knows that he's doing it for the avel, he just looks like he's tailoring suits like he always does. So then that's a different story. Then yasu, then they're allowed to do that. Okay, Bezer Shem, we'll pick up with Marion Breder Ravin tomorrow with stories as far as the behemah of an avel that's meshuba to doing avoda for other people. Okay, have a wonderful day, everybody.
Thank you.